Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Tzadi Vav. We're going to go back to the end of Tzadi Heyam Beis, five lines from the bottom of the page, so we can get back into the sugya that we're going to be learning today. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. So what the Gemara is going to discuss today is at what point wine becomes vinegar, at what point wine stops being wine. So it's going to make a nafkamina in terms of what bracha one recites, and it does one say, Baruch Pei HaGafen, and does one recite, Shakol Nia B'dvaro. It's going to make a difference as far as being mafresh trumas and maestros, that you want to be mafresh from something on other wine. So it needs to be wine on other wine. It cannot be vinegar on other wine. It's going to make a difference in terms of mekach umemkar. When is something considered a mekach ta'us? If you didn't deliver what you were supposed to deliver, it was supposed to be wine. So at what point do we assume that it is not wine, rather it is vinegar? Then the Gemara is going to discuss at what point a wine beverage or a wine-flavored beverage is considered wine, at what point not wine, meaning how much of a dilution makes something no longer wine. Now, dilution means two things, that you just have pure wine that you dilute with water, or you have a wine-flavored beverage. What they would do is they would take grape sediment and whatever pieces of the flesh and the peels of the grape were left over after wine pressing. They would put it in a filter, and they would pour water over it, and as the water would come through the filter, the water would come out with a wine flavoring. So at what point do we assume that that water that would just went through that filter and came out with a wine flavoring would actually have a din of wine? So the Gemara is going to discuss that today as well. So let's begin again. Let's go back to five lines from the end of the page on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. Am Rav Yehuda, Yayin HaNimkar B'Chanus. If you have wine that's sold in, like we said yesterday, like at a rest stop, it's not good wine. It's wine that smells like vinegar already. So the correct bracha that one recites on wine that has already turned enough that it smells like vinegar is meaning because the assumption is that wine starts. The Rashbam points out that first the smell changes and then the taste changes after the smell changes. So what if it's at the point where only the smell changed and not the taste? So the Rav Yehuda says it's still wine. It's Baruch Pei HaGafen. Rav Chista Amar Gabi Chamer Da'akdim Lamali. What Da'akrim rather Lamali? Why do I need wine that's already turned to vinegar? Meaning this is not a Baruch Pei HaGafen type of product anymore. This smells like vinegar, and therefore this is a Shakol Nia B'Dvaro type of product. So Meisvei, they challenge Rav Yehuda, who said it still has a din of wine from a Brisa Maseches Brachos. For the Brisa goes through different items that one does recite a Shakol Nia B'Dvaro on ala pasche ipsha, that if you have bread that has become somewhat moldy, but it's still ra'ui la'achilas adam, as we pointed out yesterday, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Reish Dalet that if it's totally ruined, that it's not even ra'ui la'achilas adam, then there would be no bracha at all. And on the flip side, the Shaar Tzion writes that if you're eating the part that's not ipsha, you're eating the part that is not moldy, the part that seems to be as of yet unaffected by the mold, then it's obviously motzi lechem min haaretz. So it's difficult for us to imagine from Tafshin Pei Dalid perspective, but there's such a thing as bread with mold where you're eating the moldy part and it's still something that's considered ra'ui la'achilas adam, that it's considered to be human food, but it's just not the best anymore. So if you have pascha ipsha vala yayin shehikrim, or you have wine that already started to sour and turn into vinegar, val tafshil shu'ubraturaso, or you have a tafshil, a mezonos type of tafshil, that also started to turn and the taste doesn't taste good anymore, but it's not yet completely ruined. If it were completely ruined, you wouldn't even say a shakol, right? It would still be a neroy lach. But in all those things that we just mentioned, Omer Shakol Nia B'Dvaro. The bracha is Shakol Nia B'Dvaro. So it's beferish, the yayin koseis, that you have wine that's already turning to sour, one recites Shakol Nia B'Dvaro. So it's a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said that we say Baruch Pei HaGafen isn't that a problem for Rabbi Yehuda? So answers the Gemara, Amrav Zvid, Moda Rabbi Yehuda beportzuma demizdavin akarnasa. The Bryce is talking about wine that has really, really started to sour, to the point that even the local, the local stores that sell wine for immediate drinking could not get away with selling such things. It's sold only in places that are on Prashas Drachim somewhere, where there's a lot of travelers, and it doesn't stay on the shelves very long, and really no one cares about the quality at all, and people are willing to buy it. So this is not gas station wine. This is like truck station wine. It's wine where they're just coming through, and no one cares, and they're just willing to buy whatever they want. So since it has such it's much worse wine, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moda in such a case that the bracha would be shakol. But our machlokas is not talking about the same wine that this Braisa was talking about. So Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, okay, now we have this machlokas. Ha Rav Yehuda, here's the sheet of Rav Yehuda, that wine that is sold in a chanus that started to sour, the bracha is bar priagafen. Ha Rav Chista, and we have the sheet of Rav Chista that it already turns into shakol niya b'dvaro. Mar kaman tzvirulei. Who do you hold like? So Amalei Rav Yosef responded, Masnisa Yadana. I could figure out this halacha from a brisa that discusses a different halacha entirely, that discusses something having nothing to do with the bracha. It's a brisa that discusses dinim of hafrashas truma. D'tanya, because we have a brisa, someone has barrels of wine that are tevel, and he wants to designate one of them to be mafrash truma to pater his other barrels of wine. So habodek as hachavis, he wants to first taste the wine of that chavis to make sure that it hasn't soured. Meaning, he wants in order to take away the iser tevel from the little bit that he wanted to taste. The Rashbam writes he took meiser from that little bit that he tasted before he tasted it. Meaning he's in a pickle over here. The guy wants to use this barrel as truma and everything else, but he has to make sure it's wine first. How does he make sure it's wine? He tastes it, but you're not allowed to taste it if it's still tevel. So that's what the Rashbam writes. He must have been mafrish for that little bit that he tasted already first. Tosos, however, says that you could do the bedika even without derech ti'ima by smelling it, because if it still smells like wine, then you know vaday it's wine. But the lashon of the Gemara, that the Gemara is going to say v'hati'ime v'lo akar, it sounds like the Bryce is talking about that he did this bedika, he did this this check of the wine through a ti'ima. So technically, one could have done the checking without having taken maestros. Chumas and Maestros offer this barrel yet, but it seems that the Bryce is describing that someone had to do the tasting, that he actually did the tasting, in which case he had to have been mafrish Chumas and Maestros first. And the reason he has to check it first to see that it's becheska shelo hichmetz, that it's still yayin, because he can't be mafrish min hachometz ala yayin. Chometz and yayin are considered two separate minim, and the hafrasha is not going to be chal. At least that's the shita of Rebbe that we had back on Daf Pei Dalet and Beis. And even the Rabbanan who hold that they're min echad, and if you're mafrish from one on the other, masha asa asui, but you're not allowed to do that l'chadchila, you're not allowed to take from vinegar on wine l'chadchila. So according to all the Tanaim, so that's what the Rashbam writes, according to all the Tanaim, you would need to do this check. Question is, how critical it is to do the check? That's a machlokas Tanaim. The Rebbe would say so critical that in b'dievet it wouldn't work. Whereas Rabbanan would say, in b'dievet it would work, but you're not allowed to do that l'chadchila. Tosas Shita back on Daf Pei Dalet and Beis and many other Rishonim is that this Braisa goes even according to the Rabbanan, that since you checked, it's Muchach that you wanted to be Mafresh Yayin, and since in the end it turns out that it's Chometz, the whole Hafresh was considered to be Betotlus. Meaning it sounds like what this Braisa is going to be dealing with is, was your Hafresh valid? Well, according to the Rabbanan that we had back on Daf Pei Dalet, if you're Mafresh from your Chometz al Yayin, a Hafresh is valid. So this, the results of your test shouldn't really affect whether the hafrasha is valid or not. Yeah, but if you went to test it first, then you're showing that you only want to do a hafrasha on Yayin, oh, that very act of showing that you only want to do Hafrasha on Yayin would make it a Hafrasha B'taus if it turned out to be vinegar. So Bein L'shitas Rebbe, that Chometz al Yayin doesn't work. Bein L'shitas Rabbanan, that Chometz al Yayin does work. Over here it's not going to work because you're testing it. So guys, Bodek the Chavis Lios Mafresh L'Truma V'Aldech, in order to be Mafresh Truma using this wine for his other barrels of wine, so he wants to sell 100 lug of wine, and he says these 2 lug that are in this barrel are miyuchat to be truma on the 100 lugin that I have elsewhere, va'achar kach, and then at some later date, a month later, 2 months later, nimtzeis chometz, he checks the barrels that he's been relying on to use as the truma that he was mafresh truma for the other barrels from, and it turns out that they're all vinegar, and he has no idea. When did this happen? Did it happen after the second I was had put aside these barrels to be mafresh, or did it only happen right now? So kol shlosha yamim vaday mikan ve'elach safek, a very vague statement that the Brisa makes, that there's 3 days of certainty, but beyond the 3 days, it's up in the air. Beyond the 3 days, it's a suffix. So the Gemara says, Maika Amar, before we get to any raya, we have to even understand what the Brisa means. What do you mean 3 days is a certainty? Beyond the 3 days is a suffix. But before we even get to that, the idea that he's going to designate these 2 barrels and start using it as truma on everything else, the Rishonim point out, he doesn't actually have to take anything from the barrels and be mafresh bepoel, the wine that he's being torim, because the truma could be nital b'machshava. The Ran writes that you at least have to identify the makom of the truma in the barrel, meaning if it's, you would say that from the couple of lugin that are lemaila, that are at the edge of the barrel, or lemata, at the very bottom of the barrel. But if you just say stam, lugin that are in this barrel of wine should be truma on other stuff, well then lo amar klum. Rashi in Kiddushin Dafayin Tas seems to say otherwise, that you say hare shnei lugin b'chavis plonis truma. So it sounds a little bit like you don't have to identify exactly where in the barrel the yayin is going to be truma, just that you say that it's going to be a truma. The Rishonim, however, raised the question, how can you use the wine in this barrel as truma on other barrels, with relying on the idea that this is still wine? Granted, even if it were still wine, even if it was perfect, it didn't sour at all, this is being torim shalom min amukaf. So the halacha is, whenever a person takes truma, you always have to be torim min amukaf. It always has to be from the stuff in the immediate vicinity, in the immediate area. So I have 98 barrels of wine somewhere else, and I'm going to use these 2 barrels of wine as truma, that's shalom min amukaf. So all the Rishonim ask the kasha that it seems to be, that it's shalom min amukaf. He says if it was min amukaf, then you would know if the wine in the barrel had become chometz or not. It sounds like these barrels are somewhere else, and 2 months later you go back and you check them, and you just keep saying, oh yeah, that wine that I have in that other city, that should be the truman, what I'm about to sell here in my store. So there are a number of approaches in Rishonim. Tosos Maseches Gittin on Daf Lamed Aleph writes that on Arvei Shabbos and Yom Tovim, you're allowed to be torim even shalom min amukaf, meaning the assumption is that people are busy enough on Arvei Shabbos and Yom, and it's important enough to get your produce usable for Shabbos and Yantiv, covered Shabbos, covered Yantiv, that you're allowed to be Torim Shalom and Amukav. So maybe we're talking about how Hafrasha was done in Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv. The Rambam in the 5th parak of Hilchos Trumos writes that the din of Truma min Amukav is only a din lechatchila. So it could be that this is talking about Truma b'di'evad, meaning that this happened in a b'di'evad situation. Tosos Rid in Maseches Baba Kama says that the din of Mukaf is dafka by Truma d'oraisa. So therefore, the little bit that you chayv midar raisa needs to be min amukaf. And whatever you add of meaning midar raisa chitachas potarsis kalakri, a mashahu is enough to fulfill midar raisa. What do we do for truma? Echad me'arboim, echad mi'chamishim, if a person got an ayin ra, echad mi'shishim. So something like that. That's all a drabanan. And that does not need to be min amukaf. So maybe what you're relying on this truma for is beyond that one drop, meaning the one drop, that you'll take from what you sell at the time that you sell it. That's not a big deal to you. But if you're going to give 2%, so that's already substantial, so that you want to come from this Shalom in a Mukaf barrel. The Ramban in Masech has written, writes, that in order to take away a takala from an Amma Aretz, that you don't want the Amma Aretz to end up eating Tevel, you're allowed to be mafresh Shalom in a Mukaf. That it's better to do an Isra Katan rather than the Amma Aretz do an Isra Gadol. That the Amma Aretz is not going to be mafresh from Mr. Maisus. You're selling Tameya Aretz. So he's gonna drink the wine. So that's going to be an Isser Tevel. Shalom and Amukaf is a much lesser Isser. So better that I do a very tiny Isser rather than him do a larger Isser. That's a major sugya, right? When do we say that when do we apply the principle of Einom L'Adam Chatei Kedei She'Yizka Chavircha, that we don't tell the person you should do an Avera so that somebody else will benefit spiritually from it? And when do we say that better to do an Avera Kala so that someone else doesn't violate an Avera Chamura? This comes up by Radias HaPas, right? You see someone put dough on an oven and on Shabbos, and if it bakes, he's going to be in violation of Amlacha Daraisa, he's going to be Chayv Skila. But Radias HaPas, taking dough off of the oven before it bakes, is Nisa Drabanan. So my letter to do Radias HaPas to prevent the other guy from an Isser Chamer? And the answer is no. We don't say Chatei Kedei She'Yizka Chavircha in that case. So when do we and when don't we? Right? When do? But the Ramban assumes that to prevent someone from eating Tevel that I'm selling him or that I'm giving him, I'm allowed to be Torah Mishalom and Amukaf. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, because I'm the one giving it to him. So better for me to violate a small Avera rather than me being Machshil him in a much bigger Avera, me being causing him, you know, it may not be because he has the option of taking trumas himself, but it's in some sense it's my fault. Okay, these are some of the shittos in the Rishonim as to why this is not an issue of Shalom and Amukaf, or why the Braisa seems unconcerned about the issue of Shalom and Amukaf. But bottom line is, my Ka'amar, what does the Braisa mean when it says 3 days we have certainty, beyond that we have no certainty? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi Ka'amar, what it means to say is as follows: Kol Shoshiyam HaRishonim, the first 3 days after I did the initial test of the wine and I know that it was wine, I have no doubt, Vadai Yayin, it certainly remained wine. Mikan ve'elach, after 3 days from my test, Suffolk. Then it's a Suffolk from then on, whether it was wine or it was vinegar. Maybe as soon as I did the bedika, it started to sour at that point, and it takes 3 days till it actually fully sours. So 3 days later, it really became vinegar. But within those 3 days, it's still wine. Now, my time, why does Rabbi Yochanan think that if it started to sour the second after I tasted it, it's got 3 days where it still has a din of vinegar, and after that, it's safei chometz? So chamra me'iloi akar. He assumes that wine starts to sour from the top of the barrel, that it doesn't start at the bottom. It starts at the top of the barrel. So v'hai te'ime v'lo akar. And I tasted this wine at the top of the barrel, and it was still wine. So imtim tzalomar basar de'ime akar. If you want to say that as soon as I finished tasting it, that's where it started going downhill. But when it started going downhill, its halacha didn't change for 3 days. It still remained halachically wine for 3 days. So what happened? Its smell was the assumption would be that at worst, during those 3 days, it smelled like vinegar, but it tasted like wine. Oh, must be the kol reich chala v'tam chamra chamra. That anything that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine has a halachic status of wine. So again, the question was asked: when you have something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, is it a bar piyag gafin or is it shakol ni abedvaro? So Abaye asks Rav Yosef, "Nu, what are you paskin?" So Rav Yosef says, "Here's a brisa that says that if you taste wine for the next 3 days, you can be guaranteed that it's still wine legabi trumas amaisros. So don't you see that if legabi trumas amaisros, you could be guaranteed that it's still wine for 3 days? All you could be guaranteed for those 3 days is that it doesn't yet taste like vinegar. You cannot be guaranteed that it doesn't yet smell like vinegar. So you see that even when something smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it still has the halachic status of wine." Or Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, I have a different explanation of that brisa entirely. Kol shoshi yamim ha'achronim vadei chometz. Not that the first 3 days after you tasted it that's when it's vadayayin, and after that, it's suffik. No. The last 3 days from when you just now checked, the last 3 days, now you checked it a month later, 2 months later, and you see that it's fully vinegar. So for the last 3 days, you can be guaranteed that it already turned to vinegar. Mikanu la'alan, but anything prior to the last 3 days, safek is a safek, whether it's wine or whether it's vinegar. Now, according to the shita of Rebbe, that you're not mafresh mechametz al yayin, and according to the shita of the Rabbanan, the way the Rishonim understood that by tasting it, you're showing you only want to be mafresh from yayin al yayin, so you would have to be choser mafresh again, because that which you were mafresh in the last 3 days is certainly tevel gamur, right? That's obviously tevel gamur. The Tosfot writes that from Rashi Maseches Gittin, it's meduik that the chiyuv hafrasha is dafka if you didn't eat, but if you already ate that which you, so then you can't be mafresh anymore. Meaning, if I was relying on it and then I ate everything already, so I'm going to be mafresh. There's nothing to be mafresh anymore. From the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, Rambam doesn't make a chilik between achal and lo achal. So it's meduyuk that the Rambam disagrees, and he holds you even have to be mafresh on that which you already ate. The Hagos Maisa Choshev in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Parak Vav Alach Ches, Rabbi Akiva Sofer writes that even in the Shitas Rambam that you have to be mafresh on the tevel that you already ate, it doesn't mean that it's misakin that tevel lemafreya. But there are other dinim of afresh truma semaisos that the truma belongs to Shevet HaKohanim. So since you never took the other stuff out of the Torah's tevel, you have to be mafresh again in order to return to the Kohanim that which actually belongs to them. So that's what the Rambam means, but it doesn't mean that you can undo an avera you already did. Meaning, if you ate the stuff and it was really tevel at the time that you ate it, it's too late to actually fix that. But be mafresh just because it's gezel Kohanim, to not have been mafresh and to not give the Kohanim what they deserve. Other achronim suggest that within Shitas Ram, that the chiv truma and that which you already ate is only if some amount of tevel still remains. So then when you're a toreim on that which still remains, the truma is going to be chal on that which you already ate. But if no amount of tevel remains, so what does that mean? I'm being mafresh on something I ate 10 years ago? It doesn't make sense that you would say, right, a person becomes a bal tshuva, right? There's always a question. Right, a person becomes about. So Bali Tshuva say, I was never makbid on taking meiser, and I'm 60 years old and becoming a Bal Tshuva. So do I owe the maestros of my entire career life earnings at this point? Right, there's a certain point where you say, that you don't have to keep on going back to fix everything that hasn't been done. So I already ate stuff 10 years ago that was tevel. So now you can tell me I'll be mafresh later on, and that which is tevel, you're not going to have to do that. Anyway, so Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's shita is that the last 3 days, since you checked and you see that it's clearly vinegar, the last 3 days you're going to assume it's vinegar, but you're going to assume that it's vadai vinegar. Anything before that is a suffix. So my taima, what's the base of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi? That as soon as you taste it at the very beginning, and it tasted like wine, the second you remove your lip from the tasting, it immediately goes into suffic vinegar mode. He assumes that wine starts to sour from the bottom of the barrel. And it could be that before you already, even when you tasted it, back in the at the first time when you tasted it and tasted like wine, you only tasted from the edge of the barrel, from the top of the barrel. It could be it was already souring in the bottom of the barrel. And even if you want to say that it sours from the top of the barrel, and you tasted the top of the barrel and it was fine, maybe the second you finished tasting it, it started to turn, and therefore it was something that smelled like vinegar. The second you finished tasting it, it's something that smelled like vinegar and tasted like wine, and anything that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine is vinegar. So the suffix already begins the second you taste it, because the second you taste it, its smell may have turned, and once its smell may have turned, that would already be considered vinegar. Now, I don't know for sure that its smell turned, and that's why it's a safek. It could have been wine. Nothing could have happened till the last 3 days, but since it could have happened, so it's a safek the second I finished tasting it. But you see very clearly, according to this approach in the Braisa, Reich Chala, the Taimi Chamra, is going to have a din of vinegar, as opposed to, according to who was it, Rabbi Yochanan's approach in the Braisa, Reich Chala v'tay mechamra is chamra. So the Braisa is definitely telling me something, but we don't know what, right? Meaning it could be interpreted in either direction. And then there's a third interpretation of the Braisa. Duramai, Masnu Mishmed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they had a different version of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, right? We had Rabbi Yochanan, we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi number one, and now we have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi number two. And that is that Rishonim, the first 3 days after I initially tasted the wine, Vadayayin, then it's for sure wine. Achronim, the last 3 days after I checked it again and it was absolutely vinegar, Vaday Chometz. For those entire last 3 days, it was definitely vinegar. Emtsayim Safek, but every day in between, the first three and the last three, it's a suffix whether it was wine or vinegar. So says Mara, well, how does that make any sense? Hagufa kasha, it's a stira minei bay. Amrit Rishonim Vadayayim. You said the first 3 days after I tasted, I know for sure it's wine. What does that tell you about something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine? That tells you that even if it started to smell bad the second after I tasted it, it would still have the halachic status of wine for 3 days, because something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine has the halachic status of wine. But then Vahadar Amrit, then you're going to go back and you're going to say that Achronim, the last 3 days, Vaday Chometz, that it's definitely vinegar. It could be that in those last 3 days it only smelled like vinegar, and it's only right now at this moment that I checked that it finally came around to tasting like vinegar. So Alma Rechichal V'tay V'cham Rechala, so it makes it sound like something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine has a status of vinegar. So this second version of Shubin Levi is a Stira Minei Ubei. So answers the Gemara, that they type up Rabbi Shimon Levi as follows: that the case in the Brisa is Kigon de Ishtakach Chala Siptika Di Ilav Da Akar Talsayom Ilav Mishtakach Chala Siptika, that they found the vinegar to be such strong vinegar. It wasn't Stam vinegar. It was a very, very strong vinegar, and it must be that it was already vinegar for the last 3 days. So even according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, if it smells like vinegar, but it tastes like wine, it would still have a din of yayin. But this is something that we are very confident that for the last 3 days has already tasted like vinegar, because it's been such a strong, strong taste. So going back to how this all started, Abaye had asked Rav Yosef, who do you paskin like in the Machlokas Amoraim? What bracha do you say on the yayin animkar bechanus that tastes like wine and smells like vinegar? Is it Bar Piagafin or is it Shakal? And Rav Yosef said, I don't know, but I got a braisa. The braisa is going to answer this question. Here's a braisa, but Trumas and Maestros. Yeah, how did he understand the braisa? Kaman Pashatle. Who did he understand the braisa like? Did he understand like Rabbi Yochanan that something that tastes like wine and smells like vinegar is yayin, and therefore it's Bar Piagafin? Or did he understand like Shimon Levi that it's chometz, and therefore the bracha is Shakol Niyabidvaro? So pligi about Rav Mari v'Rav Zvid. This was a machlokas Rav Mari and Rav Zvid. Chad Omar k'Rabbi Yochanan, v'Chad Omar k'Rabbi Shimon Levi. One of them said, yeah, Rav Yosef was referring to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of the Braisa, and the other one says, when Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, I have a Braisa, that makes it clear he was referring to Rabbi Shimon Levi's interpretation of the Braisa. The Ritva says it could be that each one had a Kabbalah from their Rebbeim, what Rav Yosef meant about this. Or it could be that each one had an opinion about this themselves, and therefore they wanted Rav Yosef on their side. The Ritva writes, and they said, "Ah, oh, Rav Yosef must have understood it the way I think makes the most sense." Okay, so Abaye asked a simple question, and it sounded at first like he got a simple answer, but anything but a simple answer. It's not clear at all from the Brisos. Now the Gemara says, "Okay, what happens? What about Mekach Tautus in terms of you sell a barrel of wine and it turns out to be vinegar? Itmara Mocher Chav." A person sells a barrel of wine to his friend, and the buyer takes the wine when it's in the barrel of the mocher, and he brings it while it's still in the barrel of the mocher to his house, meaning it's a bottle of wine that's being sold. It's not that it's poured out of the mocher's kelim into the lokech's kelim where you could smell it right then. It's in a sealed barrel, v'ichmitza, and then in the house of the kona, it turns out that it turned into vinegar. So amarav kol shoshiyam rishonim bershus mocher. So Rav says anytime that achmatza happened within the first 3 days after the mechira, the barrel is still the responsibility of the mocher. And therefore, the mocher is one that takes the loss, because wine does not turn to vinegar in less than 3 days' time. So if it was found to be vinegar within 3 days of the purchase, it's a simen that it already began to be machmitz, that it already began to turn while it still belonged to the mocher. And that would have a status of lokeach yayin v'nimtzu shul chometz, which the Mishnah said in Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis is a mekach talus, and the mocher has to give back the money. But mikan ve'elach, but if it was after 3 days from the time of purchase, then bershus lokeach, then we assume it's the lokeach's responsibility. The lokeach is one that takes the loss. And even if he hasn't yet paid for the wine, he still has to pay for it, because it turned bad after he had bought it. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and he holds that even if it was machmitz within the first 3 days in the mechira, the wine is not the responsibility of the mocher anymore. Chabba akas b'demari shah. The wine is on the shoulders of the shoulders of the owner, meaning it's the aveira of the bailum of the wine that causes the wine to sour. So over here also, the lokeach had purchased this wine from the mocher when it was good. His own bad mazel caused it to sour very quickly, and therefore, even if it sours within the first 3 days, it's the lokeach's problem. The mocher is potter. The mocher does not have to return anything. The Gemara on Daf Tzadiches in a couple of days is going to say that mazlo demare garim, right? That's going to have such an expression that it's the mazel of the owner of the wine that caused it, because the pasuk says va'af ki ayayin boged gaver yahir, that wine, the mazel of the bailim, causes it to be machmitz because of his own misdeeds, of his own misbehaviors. So the Tosfos is bothered by the Rashbam connecting this to that Gemara and Daf Tzadiches Amud Aleph. Tosfos and Dibra Maskul Ushmuel over here, and a lot of the other Rishonim ask on the Rashbam that when Shmuel says Chamra Akasva Demari Shavar, that really relates to that Gemara. Why doesn't the Gemara in our sugya then say Chamra Mazal Demari Garim? Why doesn't it use the exact Lashon that the Gemara is going to use in two Dabim from now? Also, it doesn't make sense that if wine naturally takes 3 days to be machmitz, that the Gemara is saying over here that Shmuel is going to say, yeah, normally it naturally takes 3 days to be machmitz, but probably a miracle happened because you did an aveira. Meaning that's what we're going to assume, that's what it means, mazli garim, that because he did an aveira, the wine is going to sour more quickly than 3 days. I mean, that's what Shmuel seems to be saying over here, according to the Rashbam, that yes, I know that it turned into vinegar within the first 3 days after you purchased it, but we don't assume that it started to turn when it was still in the Rishus of the Mocher. We assume that after you purchased it, you spoke a little Lashon Hara, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it to vinegar right away. That's the assumption. That's a little bit difficult to understand. And also, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that when you're Bodek Achavis to be Mafresh Aleha, that within the first 3 days, it's Vadayayin? What do you mean Vadayayin? This should never be Vadayayin. As soon as I taste it, I might have turned around and not said a brach on food or something, and that's it. I didn't have Aveira, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it right on the spot. So that's why Tosfos and the other Rishonim say that Rabbeinu Tam explains Shmuel a little differently. That when he says Chamra Kasva Demari Shavar, it means that the wine at the time that the Lokeach carries it on his shoulder and brings it to his house, that's what's ruining it. That too much handling of the wine, too much shaking of the wine can cause it to sour more quickly. When you leave wine in a chavis and you just leave it alone and let it be, so that would take 3 days to be machmitz. But I'm going and I'm transporting it. I don't know the conditions that the person is transporting it in and the aggravating of the wine. That might cause it. I mean, especially you think about how it describes the hachmatza, that it begins at the bottom of the barrel or at the top of the barrel. Well, I'm shaking the barrel and I have begun at the bottom of the barrel and now I'm making it spread much more quickly than it otherwise would have spread. So that's how Rabbeinu Tam learns. That's the different than the way the Rashbam learns. So the Gemara says, how do we pass? Consolvid Rav Yosef Vuvda, Rav Yosef Paskin, the Halacha L'maisa, Kavase de Rav, Bishichra, like the Shita of Rav, when someone sold beer to someone else and the buyer had found it to have turned bad. So he says, okay, that's the Mocher's problem. The Kavase de Shmuel, Bechamra, but Paskin like Shmuel, when it came to wine, that's the Lokeach's problem, because it was, again, using Rashbam Shita, because it's the Lokeach Saveros that caused it to happen. When it comes to wine, we assume that it's the Lokeach Saveros. And we pasken like Shmuel that the hefsid is on the lokeach and not on the mocher. Tan Rabbanan, we have another brisa. Echad shecher tamarim, whether a person soaks dates in water and he makes date beer, shecher tamarim, which was apparently a common beverage. Ve'echad shecher sarim, or whether a person makes beer out of barley. Ve'echad shimra yayin, or whether a person soaks grape sediment in water and the water therefore tastes as, like wine. Mivarchim aleim shakol niya bedvaro. You don't say a bari priya eitz on the sheikha tamarim, you don't say a bari priya adama or a bari mine mizonos on the sheikha sa'orim, and you don't say a bari priya gafen on the shemarim that soaked in water, or the water that had shemarim soaked in it, because none of those have the chashivus of the original pri, and therefore they don't take on the bracha of the original pri. They're all going to be shakol niya bedvaro. But acherim omrim, others disagree and say, shemarim sheish bem tam yayin, that if you have shemarim that were soaked in water, and that water now has tam yayin, that water now tastes like wine, mevarich alein bar pri agafen. You're going to say bar pri agafen. Rabbi Rav Yosef tam tavayu, ein alach ka acherim, we don't paskin like acherim that it's bar pri agafen, rather we paskin like the first shita. The shita lonod alami is quoted in the shita mubetzas. Why do I need to paskin that ein alacha kacherim? It's a davar pashut that you always follow the Tanakhama. That's a klal that anytime you have a Tanakhama, an unnamed Tanakhama, we always paskin that way. So he says there's makum to have made a mistake and said that since yayin that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, the bracha is bar priya gafen, and that was the suga we just did. So it could be that the tam is the ikr. So you're going to say, oh, if the tam is the ikr, this water also has a tam of yayin. So if you hold tam ki ikr, the gabi brachos, so you're going to say that the tam is going to... So that's why we need to be told that even on the heels of the sugya that we just did, where tam o yayin and reich chometz, that it might still be bar priya gafen. Yeah, but if it's water that just picked up the flavoring of the wine from the grapes that it was soaking in, so that's not going to be a bar priya gafen, that's going to be shakol niya bedvaro. So Amar Rava, tukuli alma ramatlas avasar ba. Going to this case of water that had shmarim soaking in it, everyone agrees that if you put 3 cups of water into the shmarim, and what you draw out from it, and when you strain it out, is actually 4 cups of this grape flavored, of this wine flavored beverage. So chamruhu, everyone agrees that's wine, and you're going to say bar pri agafen. And Rava l'tameh, this is Rava l'shitaso. Dam Rava kol chamru delo dari al chad tlas maya lav chamruhu. That anytime you have wine that hasn't been diluted, but with a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 cups of water in order to weaken the overpowering strength of the wine, it's not really wine. It's not ro'i to use for a koshal bracha. For koshal bracha, you need to use good wine. And wine that's too overpoweringly strong is not good wine. So you need to dilute it in a 3-to-1 ratio. So what happened with these shmarim? You had these shmarim of this wine flesh and grape flesh and peels and whatnot, and you poured 3 cups of water in over a strainer, and it strains through, and 4 cups of grape-flavored beverage comes out. How did 4 cups come out? You're about my face, and all of a sudden, no, Elamai picked up some of the wine that was trapped in that sediment, in that flesh, and in those peels. So you have actual wine, the 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine. Oh, 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine, that's actually wine. But Rama Tlasa Va'asa Tlasa V'lo Klumhu. But everyone likewise agrees that if you put 3 cups of water in, and what emerges 3 cups of grape-flavored water, that's for sure not wine, because you assume that it's the same water that went in, is the same water that went out, and it just picked up a little bit of the flavoring. By the way, this whole concept of pouring wine through grape product in order to give it some flavor, first of all, it tells you how they had to maximize everything, right? Meaning that they couldn't just throw away the grape product after they did the wine pressing. Anything that they could use, but this comes up in a different context as well. This apparently was very common custom. The very first mission in the 20th parak of Masechta Shabbos is about doing exactly this. Can you do this on Shabbos, right? Are you allowed to pour water through a strainer that has grape product in the strainer in order to make your grape beverage or wine on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take this soaking sediment and stick it in a filter on Shabbos, because immediately some stuff is going to start to drip, and that's going to be a violation of Borah, Merakeit, something. It's going to be a violation of something. But if it's already sitting in the filter, to pour water over it and let the water go through, that's going to be mutter. It's not abundant. It's a Ferish Mishnah. That's going to be mutter to do on Shabbos if it was already set up. So there's so you're not making the stuff from the grape product itself soak through. You're just pouring water through it. That's going to be mutter. So the Rishonim explained that it's mutter, and it's not called borer, even though the water mixes with the grape sediment in the meantime, because what went in was clear, what comes out is clear. So even though in between it had a few moments of mixing with what was in between, that's not a violation of borer. This is very nogeya halacha lemaisa, because everyone wants to know. People who are very serious coffee drinkers want to know if they're allowed to make pour-over coffee on Shabbos. And even if you don't use any fancy electric instruments, and leaving out using plungers and French press and things like that, just pour over. Pour over means that you take a bunch of coffee grinds, you put it in a filter, you put the filter over a cup, and you just pour hot water over it. So leaving aside the Bishul problems, let's assume you use Kli Shlishi or whatever, so you avoid the Bishul problems. Is there a borer problem in doing something like this? So L'chora, it's a preferish Mishnah that it is not a borer problem, that it is mutter, right? That's not called a borer. It's exactly the same as the grape product. The Gemara said that you're not allowed to set up the grapes in the filter on Shabbos. That's because the grapes were soaking wet. So when you put them in the filter, it already starts to drip. So that's a borer problem. With coffee grinds, nothing's going to happen when you put it in the filter. So Pashto says even that's going to be mutter. So you could even set it up l'chora on Shabbos. But anyway, that's where. That's the other place this comes up. But again, what are we saying so far? That if you put in 3 cups of water and what emerged are 4 cups of a grape-flavored beverage, so then that's Bar Piagav, that's for sure wine. If you put in 3 cups of water and what emerged is 3 cups of a grape-flavored beverage, then that's for sure water. That's not wine, that's just a grape-flavored water, that's Shakol Nia B'dvaro. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas tanoim is, derama tlasa va'asa tlasu palga. You poured in 3 cups of water and 3.5 cups came out. The Rabbanan Savri Tlasa Ayil, the Rabbanan hold, well, 3 cups went in, Tlasa Nafik, those same 3 cups came out, Pashle Palga, and you had an extra 0.5 kos of Yayin that also came out with those 3 cups of water. Upalga Peshita Palgi Maya. So you have a meziga of 0.5 cup of wine, keneged 6 half-cups of water. So it's a 6-to-1 ratio. 6-to-1 ratio, water to wine is Veloklomu. That's nothing. That's a Shakol. That's not considered wine. V'acherim savri, but acherim who disagree say tlasa ul trinupalga nafik. When you poured in 3 cups of water, you think all 3 cups of water came out. 0.5 cup of water probably got caught in the shemarim. So how did 3.5 cups of water come out? Pashle kuza, you're left with an addition of a full kos of yayin that came out, because a full kos of grape product came out because 0.5 kos of water got stuck in the sediment. Vakuza betray upalga chamra ma'aliyahu. So 1 kos of yayin in 2.5 cups of water, that's still a dilution ratio that would warrant a bar priagathan. So that's the case of the machlokas. There's another case of machlokas, which Bez Hashem will start with tomorrow. Biyosa Mikdei Midasa, Bez Hashem will pick up with tomorrow. Have a great day.